presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
Lovely to see you all here. So I'm going to be talking about God's vision, which is, our vision is very important to us. I think I shared a while back about a situation I had where I had kerosene in my eyes and lost my vision for a moment and I had to walk through a workshop blindfolded and, or basically without being able to see. And it's very scary without being able to see. But our eyes can be deceptive though. You can see that picture. What colour's the Coke can?
Black.
You've been looking at your own Facebook page. This is where I found it. So, is the Coke can red?
Yes.
Okay. Well, in actual fact, it's not. That's a black and white picture. It really is a black and white picture. I've zoomed in on it. It's got shades of grey in there. But our brain interprets the Coke can and says, well, I know that's red, so I'll just fill in the colours. Isn't that amazing? But what our eyes aren't necessarily seeing the truth, because technically it's black and white. Okay? I've had problems with my left eye over in the past, and I've got a really good optometrist, and I sort of come up with the idea I've got blind spots in my eye, a patch that's not very good. And it's like someone's put a smudgy finger in the middle of my eye, and I said to him, I said, can't you get me some glasses that will train the image to focus on a different part of my eye, so that I'll be able to see okay? And he goes, oh. He goes, but the brain's too clever. He said, the brain will work that out and it'll divert. And he was telling me a story how when he was going through university for optometry, they went through this experiment where they put these glasses on for a couple of days. It actually turned everything upside down, right? And they had to walk around with them. And he said, it was really hard to start with. He said, and then one morning he got up and put the glasses on, the upside down glasses, and everything was right way up. The brain had decided, oh, I know what's wrong, I can fix this. And so then they took them off, and it took a couple of days for the eyes to get back to normal. So it's quite strange. Our eyes can do a lot of weird things for us. So I'm going to put some words up, right? And we're going to read these words out. And we're going to read the word, okay? We're going to read the word, okay? So here we go. White, red, blue, green. Now, who struggled with that?
Yep.
The first time I did this a long time ago, and I thought, whoa, hang on. I read it out, and I thought, yeah, that's all right. I thought, oh, hang on, I got it all wrong. You know, so our eyes affect our brain. You know, and. Our perspective on things can change things. I've got a joke, a little story, right? So Sherlock Holmes and Watson are travelling to another town to solve a case, and they've stopped on the side of the road. They're just walking, and they've stopped on the side of the road and camped for the night. And so after a nice meal and some coffee and stuff, they've laid down and gone to sleep. Suddenly in the middle of the night, Holmes wakes up. Holmes wakes up his trusted companion, Watson, and says, Watson, what do you see? So Watson rubs his eyes. I see millions and millions of stars. Correct, Watson. What do you conclude from that? Watson thinks for a moment. Then he answers, well, temporarily, I conclude that it's about 3:30 in the morning. Astrologically, I conclude that Venus is showing in the sign of Aquarius. Astronomically, I conclude that we are on a planet orbiting the sun in a spiral arm of our galaxy. And religiously, I conclude that God wants to show us his splendor, that we are but small and insignificant specks of dust on the infinite grace of his creation. Why, Holmes, what do you mean? Watson, somebody's stolen their tent. So it's about perspective. Okay, and I want to look at a story that comes out of 2 Kings chapter 6 about Elisha. And when this word first came to me, I actually thought Elisha was in a tent when this happened to him, which is why I thought about the Holmes and Watson little story. But so I'll just go back. So the backstory behind this is that Elijah was a prophet, okay, and King Aram was at war with Israel. Now the king's plans seem to always be upset by the Israelites. Every time he went to do something, the Israelites already knew about it and were there to counterattack. He changed plans and Israelites were there to counterattack. Now, King Aram said to all of his people, what's going on? We must have a spy in our group because every time we make a decision to do something, the Israelites already know about it. And someone piped up and said, oh, it's their prophet, Elijah. He keeps telling the people of Israel all of our plans. And so they're already prepared for whatever change we're making. And there's a little comment there that says, Elisha even knew his bedroom talk. Like, he knew everything that was going on. So in chapter 13 of that verse, we read, go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. Then the report came back, he's in Dotham. And then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. And they went by night and surrounded the city. Okay, so he's made these plans. And Elisha had a good track record. Elisha was a good prophet. Elisha foretold the restoration of Israel and the establishment of the new covenant of God. He prophesied all of these things. Something else he was famous for, or a prophecy that he spoke and came true, was about a Shunammite woman's son. Elisha promised the Shunammite woman that she would have a son, even though she was childless. And his prophecy came true. Naaman's healing. Elisha instructed Naaman, the Syrian commander, to wash in the Jordan River. And following the instructions, he was miraculously cured. Kings chapter 6, verse 15, it says, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. So, you know, he's a bit like what? He's got out of the tent and, oh, come out of the room and there's armies everywhere, right? Elisha says, don't be afraid. The prophet answered, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Elijah understood the fact that God's army was greater. And it wasn't the physical army of the Israelites. It was God's army was greater. And so he was basically saying, you know, don't look at what you see. You need to see what God is doing. And so Elijah prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now that would have changed the servant's perspective then, wouldn't it? Because initially he got up and he saw the world's view. There's all these armies against me. But then when he was in the spirit, he saw the spiritual side of things and realized in the spirit, God's army was far greater. Those that were for him, those that were for the Israelites were far greater than Aram's army. Elisha knew God's all-sufficiency. Elisha's confidence stemmed from knowing that God was an all-sufficient resource. Elisha believed. The whole prophecy was built on his faith. Faith in hearing from God. When faced with trials, we too can trust in God's sufficiency. There are many things in our lives that happen around us that we don't see the full picture. We don't see all the times that he saves us. Near misses. Things that happen in our lives that we see now as the record of the events that happened. But on the spiritual side of things, we may not have seen all the events that kept us safe through those times. God is constantly working for his people to protect them. His armies are there for us. His armies go before us. When we are going into spiritual battle with people, into spiritual situations, God's army is there, going in front of us. We sang in some of the songs this morning, whose battle is it? Yes. It's God's battle. He's doing the fighting for us. We don't have to fight. Right? The battle's already won. In the spiritual realm, the battle is won. All we have to do is claim the victory. Yeah, my team did that. I was cutting the oranges. You know? But we're part of God's army, you know? He's doing the fighting. We get to say, yeah, that's our victory. You know? Vision's important. And I have to mention that thanks very much, Neville, for taking me out fishing yesterday. Vision was an issue yesterday because we couldn't see the sandy patches very well because of the light and everything like that. And I'm not going to say that it was anything due to our age or ability to see. You know, vision was a problem for us. So vision's important. Good vision is important. Problems may seem overwhelming at times because the problem is right in front of us. Now, if I look at the end of this thing, this is very small, isn't it? How big is this to you? It's tiny, isn't it? Right? But if I put that like that, it's like half of my vision. I can't see it, but it's only a small object, but it's in the way of my vision. It's affecting me a lot. When I stand back and look at things in a different perspective, it's only small. And that's how God wants us to look at things. He wants us to draw back and use God's vision. How does God see that problem in our life? Well, it's not very big. Our problems can be massive to ourselves, and I'm not discounting that. But in God's perspective, he's dealt with a lot bigger, no doubt, than our problems. You know? And so we need to have God's vision, God's perspective. It's important that when the servant looked out of the tent and came back in panicking, did Elisha panic? He was confident in knowing that God was already in control. He was confident that God had the situation in control. Verse 18 says, "The enemy came down toward him. Elisha prayed to the Lord, 'Strike this army with blindness.' So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha has asked." As the army came down to take him captive, Elisha prayed for God to intervene and to give them blindness. And once again, without vision, you can't do a lot. See, vision was good for Elisha because Elisha had God's vision, God's strength, God's faith, to believe in the unseen aspects of God. The attacking army were purely in the flesh. And when their vision was taken away, they were in a big problem. Elisha's servant focused on the visible situation, but Elijah focused on the spiritual. And when we focus on spiritual things and address things in the spiritual realm, we can make a change. Because God works in the spiritual realm. Battles are won in the spiritual world. Our lives are spiritual. We are spiritual beings. God's Spirit dwells within us. The Holy Spirit is within us. The Holy Spirit guides us in our decision. The Holy Spirit shows us things, reveals things to us that are unseen. The Holy Spirit reveals things to us that aren't yet reality. But through faith, we believe in those things as though they are reality. God, as we allow him to work in our life, can change things before us. There's an unseen spiritual reality. Elijah's servant, we often focus on visible threats. But there's an unseen spiritual reality. God's protection. Can't go and buy a bag of God's protection. It's an unseen thing, but we know it's there. God's protection, I'm sure we're aware of it in our lives. In different times in our life, we've known that God's protection has been there, but yet it's not a tangible, physical item. God's guidance. I'm sure we've all had things in our lives that have happened, and we've just had that little voice in us saying, "Oh, you better do this," and you miss the collision. You miss what's gone wrong. Take an umbrella today. We have that little voice saying, "Take an umbrella," and you didn't, and your hair gets wet. I don't have that problem. You know, the Holy Spirit speaks to us all the time. The hard part is listening to him, because we have so much noise around us, so much noise, it gets hard to hear the voice of God, to hear the Holy Spirit, but it's important. God's provision. I'm sure we've all experienced God's provision at some point in our lives. And why not believe for that constantly? And I'm taking dollar signs out of that statement. That's such an important thing. Provision is, you know, provision of family around you. Provision of things in your life that are fulfilling. Provision in enabling you to do the things you want to do. Freedom. Provision is very important. And, you know, when you read the word provision in the Bible, just scrub out the dollar signs. Because the dollar signs aren't important. You know, if we're living in God's vision and doing the things he wants us to do, he'll fund the program. He'll sort things out. He'll keep you alive. He knows what you need. He knows what you need. What he needs from us is that hand saying, "Yep, yeah, okay. What have you got for me, Lord? Give me a little bit of a vision of what you want for me." These are the things that surround us. We need to see beyond the visible circumstances. Visible circumstances will destroy us. They will destroy us. People can tell you things. People can say all these things about you. And they can destroy your vision. I had a youth pastor when I was young, and we used to play a lot of volleyball and stuff and mess about. And he was a great youth pastor. But he decided he was going to pick on me for some reason. Not in a nasty way, just a bit of general banter. And every time I missed a shot with the volleyball, "Ah, useless Paul, you missed that one. Ah, you can't play, you're this, you're that, you're that." And after a while, I gave up playing volleyball. One day we were sitting around and a bunch of people were playing volleyball, and he came up to me and said, "Oh, why aren't you playing volleyball?" I said, "Well, I'm no good at it." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, you've spent weeks and weeks and weeks telling me I'm no good at volleyball, so I figured if I'm no good, no point me playing, I might just sit down and watch." He said, "Oh, I was only joking." I said, "Well, that's okay, but you constantly kept telling me, and so what I saw was that I couldn't play volleyball." To change my vision from me not being able to play volleyball to be able, well, yeah, I can really. I'm pretty sure I can. And I, wasn't state champion or anything like that. We just had in someone's back garden playing volleyball. But I had some fun, But I let a person's vision or a person's joke become my vision, because I let what he was saying about me become my reality. And I need to get rid of that. Okay, so we need to see beyond the visible circumstances. We need to trust in God's unseen work. We need to trust in these things. We need to trust that Jesus did die on the cross for us. That Jesus saved us from all of our sins. He paid the price for everything. We don't have a physical contract of that, but we need to trust and believe in that, that Jesus did that for us, right? And we stand on that, okay? It's important for us to realize who we are in Christ. It's important for us to grasp the vision that God has, because the world's vision is not looking real good. We hear things of Wyler. What's happening in the industry and all that? What's happening with the youth? It doesn't look good, but let's try and grasp God's vision. What is God's vision for Wyler? What is God's vision for Wyler? Tell me some of the things that God wants here in Wyler.
Revival.
Revival. What else does God want in... Sorry?
Prosperity.
Prosperity. Yeah.
Freedom.
Freedom. Amen, sister. What else do we need here?
Healings.
Yes. We're faced with a world of problems here, right? But we need to see God's plan. We need to see God's confidence. We sang that song about revival. Don't pray for revival in Wyala. Don't pray for revival in this church. Pray for revival in your heart. That's where it starts. And it's not about putting people in the pews. It's about God's kingdom, right? Revival starts with our vision changing. Our vision looking to God and saying, "God, what is your vision for my life? What part am I meant to be playing in this town for your purpose, God?" And when we grab hold of that, we can work effectively. There's a scripture, Psalm 127, keeps sticking in my head. "Unless the Lord builds the house, we labour in vain." If the Lord is not building this house, doesn't matter how many programs we have, whatever we're doing, whether we're feeding the hungry and taking care of the youth and sheltering the homeless, if that's not the Lord's vision, we're doing it in vain. A vision is important for our hearts, because it's putting things in the right order, and it's putting our energies in the right places and our priorities in the right places. No way am I saying anyone's priorities here are wrong. You sort that out with God yourself. All I'm saying is that we need God's vision. And with God's vision operating in our life, massive things can happen in our lives personally. And as that starts to happen in our own heart, that will spread to other people. Opportunities will come. There's plenty of people in this town. If God wants us to fill this building, he can do it. We need to grasp the vision of what God's vision is. So in summary, let's encourage each other to pray. Prayer is the number one starting point for us all. If we're seeking God's vision, we need to ask God for his vision. And that's through prayer. And something that's really important about prayer, and sometimes the best prayers are prayed with our mouth shut. Because the prayer time with God is far better to hear him speaking more than we speak. Right? So in your prayer times, I really want to encourage you to give God space. It's a relationship. Prayer is a talking relationship. I always make this analogy with people I know about church. Church is two things. So we worship and then we receive the word, right? So for me, I love worship. I'm a musician, so I love worship, right? I suppose I'm also a preacher as well at the moment. So for me, it's like a father and a child. So worship is dad's come home from work, kids run up, hug him, let's go outside and play, throw the ball around, play, roll and tumble on the ground. Now, in throwing a ball or playing a game, is there learning involved? Learning involved? Yes, there is. But it's love, it's fun, it's enjoyable. Right? So for me, that's worship. Worship is rolling around on the floor with our Father, just telling him what we think of him, and he tells us what he thinks of us. And then you can't just have playtime all the time, can you? Sometimes we've got to do our times tables and our spelling. And so for me, that's the preaching. The preaching is our times tables and spelling. Now, Father teaching times tables and spelling is still a loving act, but it's different. You know, so I love the two things that come together on a Sunday morning. You know, worship is that's just giving a cuddle with God and saying, we love you. We love you. We acknowledge you. You're the greatest. We do some learning, which encourages us, teaches us about who our daddy is. We need to trust in God's all-sufficiency. In the same way that Elijah just trusted. He spoke and he just trusted. Did he run outside to see whether the armies of God are around him? No. The servant went outside to see all the armies. Elijah didn't need to. He knew they were there. He trusted in God. He knew that God would supply all he needed. We need to see the unseen spiritual realm. We need to see what's behind what's going on. Okay, we need to see what God's plan is for us in our life. And where we're going. It's important that we seek that out because we don't want to be labouring in vain. We don't want to be running programs and doing things and killing ourselves over trying to achieve something that isn't what God's plan is. So we need to seek God's wisdom, God's calling for us. We need to recognise that God's grace empowers us to face any crisis with confidence. Not some crisis, but any crisis. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient for us. Our grace relies upon our faith. Grace comes through faith. By us believing, by our faith we believe in God. Faith is counted as righteousness for us. The next couple of weeks we're going to be looking at the book of Romans. Of the book of Romans, it combines all the aspects of, or it talks about all the aspects of the law that the Old Testament covers, and reveals all the ways that it's done away with. We're under New Testament, New Covenant, new vision. Okay? And I want to share that with you. And it may be old teaching that you've already had, but it never hurts for us to go through things again. I mean, I've been in the church for 42 years. Yeah. I started when I was minus 10. And I just haven't been able to put the book of Romans down lately. Just keep reading it through it and reading through it and reading through it. And I think there's some great spiritual truths in it and some keys in there that are good for us, right? And I want you to take these things for your own benefit. Not because I'm saying to do it. I just want you to start looking through the book of Romans over these next few weeks. And just, I don't want you to just read through like I've got to read this. To read it out loud, slowly. And just give it some time to sink in. I'm not wanting this to interfere with any other reading programs that you might be running or whatever, but just, you know, it's not a big book. And even if you just do a couple of chapters between now and the end of the month, but just, I want you to just read through it slowly, because in the book of Romans, Paul is teaching and showing the Romans the truth of God and grace, and how the grace has gone from being available only to the Jews to the Gentiles also, and we're the Gentiles. Okay, so if you want to do that over the next couple of weeks, that'll be great. But like I said, I don't want to read it just to read through it. Just read it slowly, and if you read a sentence and it sounds good, read it again. There's a lot to be said for meditating on the word. Meditating in the, you know, conjures up all sorts of, you know, different types of worship and belief systems. But God talks about meditating. God talks about meditating on his word, about reading it and listening to it, then listening for the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit has to say to us about that word. Okay? God wants to build his church, and he only does that brick by brick. Okay? And so if I can empower you to strengthen yourself in what you need to do, that's all that needs to be done. Because when the body is strengthened and looking for God's vision individually, then as each individual life is set on fire, you will set those around you alight as well. It's good for Whyalla. People need God's word here in Whyalla. Okay. Just want to pray. Father, I thank you that you've given each of us a vision. You have a vision for us, Lord. I pray that each individual person here this morning would look to you and inquire of you of the vision. Individual vision you have for each person. And Father, I pray that people would have the strength to stand up and say, I accept that vision from you, Lord. I accept that vision from you. and I believe with my spiritual eyes that will come to fruition. Father, as we sing this last song unto you, just pray that your Holy Spirit dwelling within us will be stirred. You would create a hunger in us, a deeper hunger for your vision, so that we don't labour in vain. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.